show today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I am your host, Wanda McKinley, and of course, my co-host, Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose has changed. Our purpose now is to provide a stable environment for abused women and children, and we're including men. We want to be able to provide a temporary shelter, counseling, employment training. We want to help men and women and children transition from abusive situations to be a self-sufficient person in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men, women, and children, and to show them that we can and we will survive and thrive in society on their own, and actually to uplift them and to provide them a new life and a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help women, men, and children who have walked or may be walking in my shoes. Thank you for joining us today. Stephanie, how are you today?
I am wonderful. What about yourself?
Today, everyone that's listening, today I'm a proud mom. Today my daughter turned 23. Yes. At 10:08 a.m. this morning, my daughter turned 23. So yesterday I had to go to her apartment and do my ritual that I used to do when she was in school until she said I started embarrassing her, which was bring her little cupcakes and ice cream for her classmates. So this year, now that she's home and not in college, I brought her some cupcakes and I brought her two, one for her and one for her boyfriend. She's 23 today, so I'm wonderful. It's a special day for me today. Can you tell us about our fundraising events and things that we have going on?
Yes, We Are Survivor currently have several fundraisers, and we could use your support in all of our fundraisers. The first fundraiser that we have is with Compass Bank. If you currently have a Compass Bank account, then if you link it to We Are Survivors, then they'll send us a donation. If you open up an account with Compass Bank and link it to We Are Survivors, we'll receive a donation. We do the Kroger Plus Rewards Card. If you have a Kroger Plus Rewards Card, if you go on Kroger.com, register your card, and then link it to We Are Survivors. Just type in We, and normally it will pull up We Are Survivors, and you click on that button. Or if you go and get one and set it up and then link it to We Are Survivors, then they'll send us a donation each quarter according to what you spend. Same thing with Tum Thumb. With Tum Thumb, it's just a little bit different. You have to either print the form from online. You can go to TumThumb.com and you print the form, or we can email your form, get a form to you, whatever it takes, and you fill the form out and you either turn it back in to them or you turn it in to us and we'll make sure it gets to them. Each quarter they'll send us a donation according to what you spend. We also do the CPN discount card. It's $15 a year. You get discounts all over the U.S. So it's not like your traditional discount card where you have 10 places and, you know, you just use it locally. This one, you can use it all over the U.S. And We Are Survivor gets half of that money when you purchase your membership. Again, that's $15. And I think that's everything except the photography one. If you're interested in any of those, then, you know, please either text me or call me. My number is 817 320-2571. I'll get you set up with all of those or whichever ones that you want to do. And Wanda, if you'll share the information on the photographer that does a fundraiser for us, that would be great.
I definitely would do that. It's actually called the Purple City Project, and it is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign. And you can book a photo shoot for your personal needs or your professional wants and desires. The photographer name is City, and he has several different packages. I'm going to just kind of tell you about the most popular two. He has a $55 package that is actually valued at $100. You have a 20-minute session for up to four people, and you have unlimited shots. One look, and ladies, that means one outfit. That's one outfit with two edits. Two edits means you have to pick two of your favorite pictures. Then you have the $80 package, which is $160 value. It's a 45-minute session, up to four people, unlimited shots, two looks, so that's two outfits, four edits, and you get to pick your best four. I've done it. I actually did the $80 package and took 303 pictures, and trying to pick four pictures out of 303, not so easy, but it was really fun. If you want more information or even to book and schedule your session, call City, aka Charles, at 214-591-1370. Again, that is 214-591-1370. And a portion of the proceeds will be donated to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to help provide hotel rooms for women, children, and men who need a bed, because a lot of people don't really understand and realize that there are not enough beds alone in Dallas County. And it used to be a time where Dallas County could call Tarrant County and send someone there. Now Tarrant County will only accept someone if they are a Tarrant County resident. So as a society, we really don't understand the desperate need for these beds. And that's why We Are Survivors will one day be able to house women, men, and children who need that escape, or somewhere to go to transition and go from being a victim to a survivor. Once again, I do want to thank you for joining us today on my baby's birthday. Okay, I'm gonna have mommy moments throughout this whole recording, so you all just bear with me. I'm one of those proud mothers. Today we do have a guest speaker. Her name is Shannon Lee. How are you today, Miss Lee?
I am doing fine. And yourself?
Hey, I am a proud mother today. I'm getting younger every time she gets older, and that's my story.
I know that's
and I'm
right.
Sticking to it. I'm sticking to it. Oh, my goodness. We are, and she reminds me all the time, Mom, no, baby, you're getting older. I'm getting younger because I look younger than you. So I'm just saying. But we're so glad to have you on our show today. And for our listening audience, I want you to kind of just tell us about yourself, who you are, what you do, and then share your testimony. Share with us, you know, what is from A to Z, whatever you feel like sharing with us. We may have a question here or there or a comment. We will open up the lines later on for anyone that wants to say something or, you know, express something that they've gone through. So, Miss Lee, there you have it. Let's hear from you.
Well, hello. My name, like was said, is Shannon Lee, and I am now a clinical social worker, in which I transitioned to this career in 2015, exactly, January. I came from an education background, and I wanted a purpose to serve God more. So this is the walk that He designed for me. I have one child. He's a senior in college. He's 22. I am, like I said, a single parent. I was married to his father, and we were together for about 6 years. I met him in 1990. We were married and had our son at age 22, my age 22. He was controlling, abusive, and the time that I knew that I needed to get away is when he told me that I would never leave him because he was too good looking.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm not puppy chow. So at that time, I made up my mind and said, it's time to go. If you don't go, you're going to continue to lose yourself in this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I packed up my son, myself, and I left. I left everything. And I started
Shannon,
over.
I want to tag on something you just said. I want to say something. I want to, like, when I was with my husband, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I think I'm a very attractive woman. And it's amazing how words from your significant other can actually
mm-hmm.
make you second guess yourself. To the point, I would be in the mirror curling my hair. I would be in for hours redoing my hair, making sure every strand was in place. So when he came home, I, you know, thought that I was beautiful for that moment. And for you to say that, I was like, it took me back to me being in the bathroom for hours, sitting in the chair that I took from my kitchen table because I was in there curling my hair almost strand by strand because I didn't have that many strands because I would make it all these curls so my hair would be big and really pretty. And when you said that, it took me back to that because their words can really make you second guess who you are as a person. Okay, go ahead.
They pull yourself a little bit down. Yes, you're absolutely correct, because I was a woman that had very high self-esteem. I came from pageant background, dance,
me too,
sports, everything. So where I was high, he took me down, and he made me feel like I was lower than the ground. So I had to get out of that, because I knew that that was not love. That's not what marriage was meant to be, and that's not what family was meant to be. So I left and went back home, and I did have a supportive family that took me in and made sure that my son was taken care of while I went to work, because I stopped working, and I was mm-hmm. going to school still, and I went into education in 1994. So it was kind of trying to find myself, trying to make sure I can take care of my child. I rushed my child. I mean, I had to make sure that he had everything that he needed before he started school. So mm-hmm. I made sure my son was walking, talking, everything. I made sure he knew every letter, every sound, every color, every symbol. So when he got to kindergarten, there was nothing that he didn't already know. He was already advanced. So, and I knew that I would be okay with him being by himself at the school. And I advanced him at first because even with me going back home, mentally you don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I got to put my child in daycare. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
know, even though my family was supportive. But I had to think about self-sufficient. And as time went on, I've always worked two jobs, went to school, and showed my son strength. Even when I'm weak on the inside, you know,
right.
And I've always taught him to walk with God and let God lead you and let him be your shoulder, even when you feel weak. So I've taught him that. I've lived by it. I've showed him. So with all of that being said, I know that God sent me through these different paths that I have been down, in order to be able to be a witness and to show empathy for others that have had to go through the same path, but who could not come out of it. Because everyone is not capable of coming out. Everyone is not capable of finding themselves again and looking at themselves in the mirror and loving them. So
that is so
true. Now, yeah, and I'm making my job every day to ask God, what do you want me to do and how do you want me to do? And just as today in group sessions, one of my clients asked me, well, what are we going to talk about in group today? And this is why we're riding to the church, because I host group session at a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you'll find out. So when we get in there, you know, we do the normal general information. And I explained to them that I'm going to teach you today how to have a relationship with yourself. You know, because if you don't know you and if you're not happy with you, then you're not going to be happy with anybody else and you're not going to do anything right for that person. So if you don't respect yourself, you don't like yourself, you don't love yourself, you're not going to respect, love, and like the person that you're going to be with, or you may end up becoming whoever that person wants you to be. And you're still not going to be happy.
That's so true.
So we worked on that today. Because
and
I had to
turn
do that
out?
To myself. It turned out well. They really enjoyed it. They were very engaged. They understood. Because every last person, male and female, could agree that they have lost themselves. And they don't
mm-hmm.
know exactly who they are truly. So that was their homework, too. I gave them a sheet, and they have to find out who they are as a socializer, a financial person, a person of spirituality, finances, relationship-wise, them in a whole, mind, body, and spirit. So physically, you know, so they are supposed to give right out that information and we'll discuss it in our next session.
You know, a lot of us, because I know that lose yourself, and you can lose yourself in someone before you know it. You can lose your identity. You can lose
mm-hmm.
your sense of direction. You can forget about things about yourself that you like because you're so focused on that other individual. You can forget about so many important things about what makes you who you are because you're so concerned and so consumed about pleasing and making another human being happy. And a lot of times people don't realize it until that mirror is put up to their face. And a prime example, and I mentioned this on my show a couple of weeks ago, a very close family member of mine, I asked this individual, hey, what is your girlfriend like? What makes her happy? And because I'm a survivor, I see this. I mean, the signs for us slaps us in the face. When you're around it, you see it immediately, you pick up on it immediately because you've walked in those shoes. So I see how she
mm-hmm.
walks
mm-hmm.
on eggshells. So when I asked this individual, okay, so tell me, what does your girlfriend like? They couldn't tell me. So I'm approved, and I told him, I said, I'm approved to you that she's lost herself in you, that she doesn't even know anything else other than you. I called her and put her on speakerphone. I let her know you're on speakerphone, and I just have one question to ask you, just one. And I simply said, what makes you happy? And her answer was her boyfriend. I said, okay, now take that first answer away, I said, I'm going to ask you again. Now give me a different answer outside of him. What makes you happy? It was dead silence. I turned to my family member and looked at him. I said, there's your answer. Now tell me something else that you're going to say I don't know, I don't see, and I don't realize. This young lady has lost herself in you, her identity. She can't even think. And for me, I would tell her myself, oh, hey, get my nails done, get my figure, but something simple. She couldn't even think about it because she's so consumed in my family member. I looked at him, I said, fix it. Fix it. because you can't be around me and you know my walk. Fix it. And sometimes it takes that other person to put that mirror up. So when you said, yes, it happens. And it happens so fast, and it happens before you know it. It's just like it creeps up, and before you know it, you can even think for yourself because you're trying to think for them, what they want to eat, what's their favorite snack, oh, my gosh, how they want their clothes done. Oh, let me make sure that their bed is made. Before you know it, your thoughts are about them. And you can't even think about anything about yourself. And it happens. Men and women, it happens.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Wow. But when you said that, you said something.
Because I think it's very important as females or males, because I've seen it on both sides, that you look in the mirror daily and tell yourself things that you are happy about with you. I believe in making short-term goals. I believe in taking myself out. I believe in buying myself something. You know, I believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't believe in you, who will?
Right.
And, it's a thing that we got to learn to express to the young ladies, because it's not just the grown women. Our young ladies are out here, have watched certain grown women, and this is the reason why we have a lot of young women, young girls, disrespecting themselves, not having any value, don't have substance, thinking that beauty and body is all you need, and then wonder why you are treated badly and thrown away. You know, understanding that you should be more than just words of, girl, you fine, or girl, you beautiful. You know, tell yourself you're beautiful. And those words won't have such an impact that it takes you.
Yep. That is so true.
Because with society now, I just actually posted something on Facebook asking, why do we think society has it believing that being a side piece, that when they call on, be it male or female, in the mid-hour, and it's okay to be not the main one, but the one they call on, that booty call. And it, unfortunately, with media, television, and the lack of parenting, can't just blame it all on TV, radio, videos. It starts at home. But for me, and this walk that God has me on, because I used to be very angry at my mother for not protecting me, because my mother knew what was going on. And as time went on recently, I learned that my mother was also abused by my father. And so for her, trying to raise a daughter, try to be that mother figure, it starts from your parents. And if your parents don't have that guidance, or that's the way they are, that's their lifestyle, then when you look at that child has to have that strength within themselves to say, okay, I don't want to be this way, or I don't want to twerk, I want to get an education, I don't want to follow what's going on in the media, but I want to be this educated woman or educated man that's going to make a difference in a positive way versus making a difference because I can shake my butt. So I know for me, I was that individual because God had his hands on me. Okay, I know that your parents, the ones that you look up to, are the ones that hurt you the most, but I'm going to carry you through that because you're going to help other people. I know that now. But if I were fallen victim to my upbringing and what I went through, we would not be talking today. I've had so many people that look at me and can't believe what I've gone through. So I know, too, even saying that, we as a people have to seek God. You got to seek God first. Because he's going to guide you. He's going to help you. A lot of people believe if you turn your life over to God, it's going to be easier. That's not the truth. You're still going to have your ups and downs. But
Wanda, you said something a few minutes ago when you said that people look at you, they don't think that you've been through those things. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, what are you supposed to look like if you've gone through those things? I mean, because we all get told the same thing. And I'd be like, so how am I supposed to look? Am I supposed to look beat down all the time? Am I supposed to have bruises, you know? What look are we supposed to have?
A look of brokenness.
I mean, I can tell you that. Working in the mental health business,
mm-hmm.
It's amazing. The look. It's amazing.
Wow.
You can feel what they feel by just looking at them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You can look at their demeanor and know they've been broken. You can look at their stature. You know, I had one young, when I first got to this job, I didn't know what to think because I'm coming from education with kids. So, you know, it's a total different aspect. And, you know, I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
mental health. So mental disorder, you know, bipolar, schizophrenia, you know, those kind of things. Massive depressive, major depressive. So I'm thinking that. Then I have substance abusers. When you look at their lives, I had one lady, she sat in the back when I first met her, because I met them in group. And she sat in the back with a coat on, with her head down, meaning that you don't see me, I'm not trying to see you, and don't call on me.
Wow.
And that was just what she had, that look. I had several that looked that way. Some tried to play it off, and they sat in the middle. Well, when I got through speaking to them, because I spoke to them in general and just explained to them my place in this business, and I told them the same thing that I'm saying. I'm here for God, to serve God, and to do what I'm supposed to do for his people. And that means give you what my all and to help you learn how to function. And I've learned that a lot of these women and men, some of it might be by 1-2% of my clients that was genetically, you know,
mm-hmm.
given this trait. The rest of them, they've been broke down by a man or broke down because of parenting, and it has caused them to have a mental disorder.
Wow.
And I was, yeah, and I'm just looking at these men and women, and I said, you know what, Lord, help me fix. Whatever I can't fix, I can't fix. I can't save everybody. For those
mm-hmm.
that I can, help me. You know, the woman that sat in the back, she now sits in the front and she talks. You know, the one that has been abused by her parent and man and men, she now has taken a stand on her life to do something different. So, you know, I thank God every day for whatever actions are made that benefit these people, because I need me to do what's right by God so that I can do right by them.
Mm-hmm.
And they need it. Some of them
right.
don't have love for themselves. You know, they've lost themselves because of the hurt.
And just you being,
allowing God to use you to reach out to his people, it's amazing how you just being transparent allow someone else to feel comfortable. And it may, there's no time limit, but when you see that person unraveling, and as I always say, like peeling the layers back like an onion, just like that young lady that sat in the back, like I'm here, but I'm not here. But now for her to be up front and speaking, that speaks volumes of God moving.
That was a lot of progress.
Yes.
That was a lot of progress. I used to be the one to go straight to the back. And it took me a long time before I go to the middle, or, you know, and even now being in leadership, most leadership sits on the front row. The majority of the time, I'll do like the second or third row. You know, I'm still not that person who want to be all out in front all the time. I will sit back some, you know, unless I'm pretty much made to, okay, you need to be on this row for sure today. You know, I try to sit back. But that was that because I had been beat down so much. You know, I felt like, okay, if I was back out of the way, people really wouldn't pay me attention.
Mm-hmm. That invisible role.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was telling Stephanie, too, as well, how much I've seen her grow since we've been around each other in the past year, because she didn't speak out. She didn't really talk about what she has gone through, what she experienced, or what her thoughts were. She's been there, but if you didn't touch her, you didn't know she was there. Now she is vocal, and she is in your face, and she is asking questions. And I just tell her, I can see the transition that from A to whatever letter it is now that she's on. I know there's so much more that has to come, but I just can see when you see someone from her growth, that gives me strength. And that makes me, you know, keep pushing forward. Because I tell a lot of people when they see me and they do say, well, you don't look like, you know, what you've been through. And I look at them and say, well, honey, you're not with me all the time. You're not with me when I'm in my car and all of a sudden out of nowhere, I'm crying like someone has just died. I could be watching something on TV and all of a sudden get emotional. So what you all see now, yeah, that's me, but you're not with me 24 hours, 7 days a week. There are times when I do break. But with God holding me, I'll get through it. I'm going to make it through it. Because once again, because he told me to be transparent, I didn't ask for this. Because I was at individual that no one needed to know. What happened, happened. It was years ago. And because I never dealt with it, I'm good. Not realizing my attitude, relationships, how I view things in life, all stemmed from me holding in all of that pain and that anger and all those emotions. And now that I talk about it, even though it's getting easier, it's still difficult. But my life, my friends, the people around me, because I'm different and they see me growing, it is amazing. So I do want to commend you, Shannon, on the things that you do, to not only because God has called you to do it, but because you actually can help these individuals. I know people that call on like these shelters. And if they get someone on the other line that does not have empathy for them, can't relate to them, they're cold. They get a shoulder. Mm-hmm. They don't really care. It's a job. I get off at whatever time. I'm just here to answer the phone. But when God places people in these certain positions that can relate to that individual that's on the other line or that's on, you know, face-to-face, it is a tremendous relief for that person that needs not only your education and your knowledge, but your spiritual guidance, your spiritual knowledge. They need that. So I do want to say thank you for being obedient. I hear that all the time for me. A lot of people like, oh, me, hey, I don't have a choice. But I'm saying that to you now. Thank you for being obedient because it really does make a difference in someone's life. And you get to see it every day. Every day.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you, too. I mean, I'm the same like you. I'm just being obedient, too. I can't be nothing else. You know, we've all done it our way before. It didn't work.
Oh, and then when we try, he'll remind us. For those that are on the line, I'm going to start off with, because I don't know who has the background noise. The caller ended in 7075. Do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Let's see. Okay. The caller that's ending in 9055, do you have anything you want to say, any comments or questions?
No, thank you.
Well, we do appreciate you listening.
Thank you.
Let's see. I think it's this next one I'm going to. The caller that's number ends in 0416. Do you have anything that you want to say this evening?
Hello, hello. How y'all doing? This is Marlon. I just want to say one thing. You know, when we turn our life over to Christ, like you said, we're still going to have our storms, more so, probably even more so. But when you fully sold out to Christ, you have to go through those storms as Christ went through his storms, even so. You know, and when you're broken, sometimes it takes people to get totally broken to really accept Christ, you know, if fully. You know, some people say that we accept Christ, we believe in God, He's our Savior, but when it comes times for those tests, trials, and tribulations, we forget about that and get back into ourselves and have those pity parties or self-sorrows or anger or frustrations when... If you fully sold out and you really trust in God, all God wants us to do is trust Him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When we go through those trials and tribulations and storm after storm after storm, that's His way of testing our trust to see if we can really trust Him. But if you really got that trust of God in you, you don't have those worries because He's blessed us with joy and peace in our life. We have to own it and walk in it regardless of what we go through. We have to walk in humility, We have to walk humble and walk in obedience. But the key is we have to be willing to walk in those things. If you're not willing to walk in those things, you're just saying those things, you're going to still feel some type of way when you go through those storms. But you got to smile. You got to wake up with the sun shining on you and in you, even when it's raining outside. You got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with all everything the evil is pulling at you, knowing what's ahead, which is God. He's right there waiting for you to come on through. The test is, can you make it through without whining, complaining, and bitter and sorrow and pity parties? But you got to smile and go through the storm. You got to walk through it. You know, you got to find that eye of the storm, that calm place of the storm, and go through walking through, you know what I'm saying? Because you're going through, and you don't have to look. You don't have to look like it. And the those that look like it has lost hope.
Mm-hmm.
Faith.
Exactly.
Has lost their trust because things are not happening right then and there for them. But it's a test. It's a journey to get to your destination. You have to pick it up yourself and put your head up high. You can't look back. You can't look beside you. All you got is your head and deal with what's around you. That's all you got to do, even through it. And God will bring you through it because He sees, I can trust Him. You got to have that Job faith, the book of Job.
Right.
You
wow.
God said, this is my most faithful servant. I'll allow you to test Him with all your demons. The demon of death in his family, his cattle, his children, took everything from him, but he still held on to that faith because he trusted God was going to bring him through. And then his wife said, what? I want you to just curse God and die.
Right.
Come on now. But you could not break Job. Job could not be broken. And guess what? God blessed him more than what blessed him more than what he had before. So it's possible to do. It all depends on your faith and your walk. Not let the enemies around you distract you, because the enemy going to distract you with illusions. All these are illusions. He can't touch you if you allow him to. If you give him that power,
you really confirmed something. I had a client that lost their benefits, their Social Security benefits, and they were just out of it. You know, that was all that they had. That was the only income. And I actually brought up the book of Job with her.
Wow.
To explain the same story. And I explained to her that there are times that things are taken from you to see where your faith is at. You've lost
exactly.
your faith. When you get your faith, you'll get it back and then some. You know, so you have to learn that when these trials hit, you keep God in front of it.
And we give us tools to prepare ourselves, which is the word of God and the will of God, which is the word of God. You know, if you study your Bible, you read, not just read your Bible, you have to study it, break it down, you know, to a theological, in a theological mindset, to understand what those things really mean. You know, and you have to walk in and you have to meditate on it. You hear from God to let him use those things that you read and studied on in your life when those times come. That is our spiritual food to keep us strong so we can continue to wear our full armor of God every morning we wake up. Every morning we wake up, because there is something out there in the world for somebody that's going to touch somebody, it's going to hit somebody, a storm. So you have to have your full armor of God on every day, even when there's nothing going on, because you always got to expect the unexpected in the spirit.
Yeah.
And carry on. Faith has to grow to a level. You have to continue to rise in your faith. You know, your level of faith should continue to grow. It's never endless. It's never endless.
Okay. That is so true. Wow. I always enjoy when you're on the show because you really do bring some powerful, powerful words. And I actually I'm just going to be honest because I am an honest person. I've been looking for your number to come up on this dashboard. It's like, oh, is he on? What does he have for us this week? No, I appreciate you because you do bring some encouraging words, and I just thank you for even listening. You are one of our men that support us, and now that it's kind of not ironic, I know it's all God, but it's, and Stephanie's a witness, since we've started this walk, we've had some men come up to us. We was at one event, this man came up to me in tears. And he's a survivor of domestic violence and was asking about resources and help. And the only thing I could keep telling these people, well, I say people, meaning men, because it's happened to me more than once, that I can't relate to them because men and women are wired differently. We think differently. We process things differently. And true enough, we may be survivors of domestic violence, but I can't process, you know, what you're going through. So I, you know, that was my escape, my excuse. And what happened, every time I would say that, God would put somebody in my life that is dealing with male survivors. But because I was stuck on, my focus, I would never really see, like, okay, child of mine, I'm giving you resources. Until this weekend, actually I got two confirmations in less than a week. I had someone, a minister, call me. She was like, Wanda, let's do a conference about domestic violence. I'm like, okay, I'm good. She said, but I want to do something different. Let's include men. And I chuckled. I said, oh, okay. I don't know where we're going to find one, but okay, we can sure include them. And not less than a week later, I met a social worker who currently now has 10 files, 10 clients that are male domestic violence survivors. I said, okay, God, I hear you now. I
hear you.
Amen. And now that I have changed our mission and vision, I talked to a clinical psychologist Tuesday. He happens to be male. And I talked to another male. And it is amazing to me the negative response that I received from these males because they just do not want to believe that a man...
That men are abused.
Yes. It is amazing to me how it's like, okay, God, you've given this to me, but now I'm like, whoa, this is not going to be an easy task. Because people don't want to support that. This doctor laughs. The fact, and what he actually wants to do is, you know, help us, and he wants to come up with a Valentine's Day card. I'm sorry, it's a little late for that, but he belongs to an organization full of doctors, and they want to do a domestic violence Valentine's Day card. I'm like, well, something we can work on towards for next year, but it's not the time to do that this year. And his thing is, yeah, he's like, I can't even believe that somebody, it's another organization here in Dallas that have also called on that there are no resources for men. And they're supposed to be working on a shelter for men. There's nowhere for men to go. And when this doctor said that, he laughed. He laughed. Like, how can a man just let a woman abuse him? So I was like, wow. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, here's a message from God for you. God has blessed you with much, right?
Yes.
Much is given and much is required. So the much he's given you, he's requiring that there's just that much from you.
Oh. Oh, goodness.
Confirmation, right?
Yeah. Oh. This is much.
So you have a comfort zone. You're in a comfort zone right now, but he want to move you out of that comfort zone and take you further.
Mm-hmm.
So, you think we're in the comfort zone? Do you know how fast we've been moving?
No. I'm talking about forward expanding with the men and the negative challenges that they have.
Right.
Came. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know. So you expand and take on that challenge. You can do it. It's in you. You have a drive that you don't even see yet. I see it. See, people on the outside that have that spiritual walk can see more than what the person that's walking can see. Just by hearing and talking to you and hearing your conversation, you have that it in you. You have to go get it. Take on all the challenges.
And so
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Because it is, people are not used to this, okay? And it's because we don't see it a lot. While we were talking and I was listening to you, I wanted to go ahead and just research it real fast because I love research. An article in 2014 was published. It said more than 830 males fall victim to domestic violence every year. A man is a victim of domestic abuse every 37.8 seconds in America.
Wow.
So that's a lot of men. And what these men have to, because see, I'm in line to get my LPC and my LMFT. And what I do look at, I look at everything as a whole versus as one. You can't look at everything one-dimensional. There's a lot of men out there that do not put their hands on a woman. And you got women who take advantage of that by putting their hands on that man because they know that man is not going to touch them.
Exactly.
You have a lot of men out there that are being abused verbally. I've seen it. They're getting beat down verbally. And that man is one of those that don't like to rock the boat, so he really don't say nothing, even though he don't like it.
Hallelujah.
He just keep it quiet just so that he don't have any fire at his home. You know, you got a lot of men out there that are used, and it's called exploitation, in order for that woman to get what they want. So even though it happens to the woman, it also happens to the man. And as a clinical psychologist, a clinical counselor, you cannot come in with a tunnel vision. You have to come in with an open mind to understand if it happened to a child, and that's a boy or a girl, then you know it happened to a man if it happened to a woman. So it's no discrimination in abuse, and there's not even a discrimination for color. because it happens in every creed, race, and diversity of life.
So, and salary bracket, too.
Yeah, and, you know, God is going to bring you that counselor that you need in order to make sure that whoever comes to you feel comfortable, secure, and able to open up freely without feeling judged or looked down upon. Or made, and this man, these men may already feel like less than a man. So why do you need another man to make you feel even worse?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand it's a man thing. You know, some men, it's a man thing. But sometimes ego and pride got to be let go, and an understanding that we're all human, and there are emotions that are connected to humanity that we got to look at.
Right. Yeah, you're right. And
that is so true. That is so true.
But it's when you Google, because I actually start Googling things when it comes to domestic violence regarding men, and it's not a lot out there either. It's Mm-mm. amazing to me how little information, resources that are available for men, and it's hard for women to come forward. I had no idea how hard it is for a man to come forth. And I'm a woman talking to men about men survivors, and they're laughing at me. But I'm like, wow. And that's why it's probably so many domestic violence cases regarding men, so many that they don't get reported, because people think women are afraid to come forth. I'm beginning to believe it's even harder for a man to come forth, and that's wild.
Well, so you will know also, it's a lady named Jan Brown, because I'm reading this from while we're sitting here. Jan Brown is the executive director and founder of the Domestic Abuse Helpline for Men.
Wow.
You know, the reason why I think as a man it's hard for men to come forward and tell their story, because, you know, reasons they have a fear, because they haven't been, they're not secure in their manhood yet to come forward. They feel like they're being less than themselves as a man to come forward. But actually, it makes, to me personally, it makes you more of a man to be able to express that openly.
Mm-hmm. And see, I want to touch on that. And unfortunately, this week we won't have time, but next week, which is our open forum week, I would love for you to even elaborate more on that, because and this is our first answer now, because it'll go into a whole other subject. We don't even have time. From a woman's perspective, I want to know, what is manhood? When I hear that, I'll be like, what is that? What is the definition, the meaning of that?
Yeah, so, I'll be more than happy to elaborate, but like you said, we don't have the time, because I would go in hard
exactly.
on it.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to pick that up next week. But I really want to know, because since God has placed this in my journey, I need some one-on-one, men one-on-one, rules, guidelines. Hey, like Steve Harvey, he said, think like a man, act like a lady. Well, I'm going to act like a lady and think like a man, because I need to understand.
And that role is absolutely vice versa. You know, I try to tell my brothers, you know, it's okay, you know, to be a man and be secure with yourself as a man, but to understand women, I'm gonna switch it up. To understand women that allow you to understand and receive from you, you have to think like a woman but be a man, so you can understand that woman, so you can understand that woman more, you know. It's called the one of the things is it's called a love language. You know, you have to think like a woman to understand her wants, her needs, her dislikes, her everything. You have to think like her, but be a man at the same time. But there are women that won't receive that from you or allow you to do that because of the confrontation that y'all might have with each other. But if you equal, if you on equal ground, if you equally yoked and on one accord, then it's receivable. It can be a process to progress. But men have to think like a woman and be a man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make a man soft. That doesn't make him feminine. It just he's smarter than trying to please that woman. The gift that God gave us. Y'all are a gift to us. God gave us order. He gave us the Garden of Eden, which is not a place. It's an atmosphere. We have to keep that atmosphere controlled with a spiritual being. He gave us order of work to take care of that, to take care of that garden, to take care of our women. And he gave us the word of God to be our personal priest to our female, to teach them the word of God. And we have to use our vision of the woman that we love and teach her how to be and show her and learn from her how to be the woman that we can love. So,
wow. Next week is going to be an awesome show. Next week is going to be awesome. Can't wait. Before we, because I know I look up and this hour will be gone, I do want to acknowledge the fact that for those who have Verizon 27, Sunday evening, 5:30 p.m. to 6, I will be a guest on Women of Abundant Wealth. It is a spiritually based television talk show. So those who have Verizon, then it's going to be on Channel 27. If you do not, then you can watch it from anywhere, UAN Network, and the website is www.uanetwork.tv. And that's www.uanetwork.tv. And so once again, We Are Survivors will be on Women of Abundant Wealth television talk show this Sunday coming up from 5:30 to 6. Miss Lee, don't be a stranger.
Yes,
I will be reaching out to you. I really do thank you today for your tidbits, for sharing your story, for sharing how God is using you in your field of choice, which is awesome. And, of course, I want to thank our listeners all the time, especially our man that's actually going to be taking us into next week, because I want to understand what is manhood, how a man. I'm going to have so many questions. I'm going to do some research. Just get ready. I'm going to have some questions.
And let me say this. Women, you can send us your questions. The questions that you want us to ask the men, send them in to us. Email us, text us, whatever it is, send it in to us so we can get the questions answered.
That would be awesome. Because we need to understand where God is leading us. Feel free to contact me or Stephanie with any questions, comments, survival stories. Direct number is 214-454-2933. Stephanie did give hers earlier, which is 817-320-2571. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. Our website is www.wearesurvivorsfoundation.org. We want to thank God for you listening, and I pray that today on the show something was said that touches your heart. We are here to help and to support, to guide, to listen, and to lift you up. In the name of Jesus, we worship your holy name. God bless everyone that's listening tonight, and we'll listen at a later date and time. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Looking forward to next week, ladies.
Hey, Wanda.